Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 3:16 of the 9 Years podcast, which is being recorded and hopefully released on Stone Cold Steve Austin Day, the 16th day of the third month, 3:16. And it just so happens that this is episode 3:16 of the podcast. It was like it was meant to be. It's like we planned it. Of course, we didn't, but hey. What a happy coincidence, at least for me. I'm sure many of you don't actually give the tiniest, you know what, but anyway. I'm Nick Draper. I'm joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Looking back at another winless week for AFC Wimbledon, at least AFC Wimbledon's men's team. We'll be looking ahead to the game with Crawley on the weekend, Jackson 5 on that side of it as well. But Stu, we're going to get straight into it this week with a discussion about substitutes. Formerly known as, or the artists formerly known as, finishers, or perhaps somewhere in the football pyramid, impactors. Let me just be very blunt here, Stu. What a load of bollocks. But it does bring us on to the fact that substitutes are a bit of an issue for AFC Wimbledon as of late, are they not?
Well, yeah, when you started talking about substitutes, I was a bit worried where you were going with that one, to be fair. Yeah, do you know what? I know you hate everything that modern football brings up. Do you know what I mean? I get that.
Everything.
Saying that, right? I've gone totally around. I've gone totally off track already. Well, not really. Newport County, the first team I've seen in League Two to do a light show. You know, the Premier League does this light show where if you've got epilepsy, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Newport did basically a League Two version. It's like a VAR light version. But did a light show. It was amazing. Like, to be fair, it's probably the only light in Wales that was actually at that point.
But yeah. I don't think they can afford the electricity in Wales. I know, to keep up the pretense, I should be saying at this point, Wales doesn't have electricity yet, but I've done that joke into the ground. But surely, I mean, the cost of electricity, the cost of power these days, is skyrocketing, and they're wasting it on light shows for 4,000 people in a bottom third of League Two fixture.
Well, do you know what? The funny thing is that they actually use their electronic scoreboards, which I'm thinking, well, we can do that. That's nothing special.
Yeah, we can
do that. So I'm wondering, do you know what, like, you know, we're not going to get a cheerleaders at Plough Lane, are we? Will we get a light show at Plough Lane? That's on my bucket list. Anyway, you asked me about substitutes here. Yeah, do you know what? It's the same. Mikel Arteta was talking about it. It was from Eddie Jones, who was a former England rugby manager. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I know Robbo had him down to training ground when he was academy. I think, you know, he's one of those coaches that shares his knowledge and tries to do that sort of switch over between what, you know, there's some sports that you can learn things from other sports that you can bring into your own game. And I think that's, and do you know what? I get it. Like, when you're a substitute, basically you're like, well, you're not in the team, are you? But you do have a valuable role at some point, unless you play for us. In terms of you're not going to get on the pitch that much, but you have a role. So I get where Mikel Arteta is going about impactors, because actually, you know, with the Premier League, with any league at the moment, you have 5 subs out of 7. So those subs are going to get on the pitch more than not. So when they go on, they've got to do something and they're going to impact, aren't they? Or you hope they impact. So I get the language. I get the language that they use. And I knew you wouldn't like it.
No. I mean, I think the Premier League, I think, might even have 9 subs now, which is just absolutely insane.
Yes. Sorry, you're right. Yes.
My argument is, of course, this is solving a problem that doesn't exist. As with many, many things we see in the modern day, we are solving problems that aren't actually problems. Did Ole Gunnar Solskjaer need to be called an impactor to come on and score goals for Manchester United? When we got promoted, did two of Akinfenwa, Aziz, Taylor and Elliot, do they need to be called impactors or finishers to come on and make an impact?
Well, it certainly made an impact. But then, you know, I'm going back, you know, obviously before your time, but I'm going back to the time when we just named one sub.
Yeah, the happy days. Let's go back.
That sub was always going to be in it. Could you imagine that with just one sub? Oh, my dear.
Brilliant. Do you know what would be cheaper?
Yeah. But yeah, in the days when it was just one sub, well, of course that sub was impacting because his own person in, his own person coming on.
Yeah.
Do you know what's very interesting? Very quickly, I was listening to a really good podcast from Aaron Paul, believe it or not, the 72 plus.
No, very much.
It was a week before. It was Carl Robinson and Gareth Ainsworth on there. And it was really interesting what that Carl Robinson, for all his faults and, you know, jumping around his living room and stuff, I actually do like listening to him about football. I think he's very switched on tactically, and that may get me some booze, but it's just how I am. And he was saying, like, obviously he got sacked by Oxford, and he said he wasn't the best of himself at Oxford, and he deserved to go. But he then said, like, he's going to spend some time going around some of the younger coaches to learn more about the game, because the game has just changed. He was saying learning how to deal with individuals, because actually the day is gone where you can just shout and holler. You have to understand how to communicate with certain people. And it was saying, like, it's more like an individual sport now. You can't really talk to them in a... he was saying, like, in Premier League games, youth academy games, he's going, they all have iPads showing their individual battles that they need to win.
Mm.
And actually, it's become an individual one-on-one.
Mm.
Sport, and it was just really interesting how the game has just evolved. I think that's where I'm going with in terms of impactors and that sort of side of it. The game is just changing so much. Mm. But sometimes you've got to bring it back down. You know, obviously Gareth Ainsworth, Gareth Ainsworth tried to do something different with a championship squad.
Didn't
QPR.
Didn't work.
He ain't gonna last long there, is he?
Sadly. Doesn't look like it. Sadly, I always feel like it's a Nathan Jones and Luton situation. Such a good fit that you're going to struggle to replicate that elsewhere. And I think you could, I suppose Joe Kinnear did all right at Luton as well, but I think it was very specific circumstances that he did well at Wimbledon, special club and all that business. But just to go back to your point about an individual sort of game, each player has their own battles and things to win and stuff like that. Is the logical conclusion of this heading towards an American football style American sports style basketball, where it's all down, simply everything's down to different plays, and can you execute certain plays at the right times to score? Do you know what I mean? Like, as opposed to what seems still ostensibly to me a bit of a free for all game where, you know, anything could happen at any point.
Yeah, probably is. If you think back to when Robbo with the finishers were trying to go up, but he also had a set piece coach. He also bought a substitute. Well, he didn't bring a substitute coach in, and he was offered that opportunity. And, you know, Liverpool had throwing coaches years ago, and you'd laugh. You know, if we did this podcast 10 years ago, you'd laugh at throw-ins, because we couldn't take a throw-in probably 10 years ago.
I mean,
but there are small margins, aren't there? You know, in that sort of side of it. So it probably are. You know, you might get to the day, because I don't know if everyone's noticing now, there's definitely, like, Graham Westley at Stevenage was the first one to bring in tactical timeouts.
Yeah.
They're not tactical anymore. They're just compulsory, aren't they?
Yeah, everyone does.
We also, I don't know if you noticed on Tuesday night at Newport, Al Hamadi did it. He just went down injured, and they all run over. It's basically a queue now to run over to the bench. But I have this vision where you're just going to have defensive coach, midfield coach, attacking coach.
Yeah,
you know, American very much. Style. Yeah, very much like you're doing American football. So, yeah, I think you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if it is. And, hey, look, there was talk years ago about having four quarters rather than having two subs. But
hey, look, two halves.
What's going on with advertising boards as well, by the way?
Yeah, they suck.
Like, why do they have to be? Like, it took us ages, right? I remember when we went through non-league, I was always going, I can't wait to hit milestones when we got on Soccer Saturday or squad numbers and stuff like that. So when we got electronic scoreboards at Plough Lane, I was like, ah, we've made it. Well, now we're not now, because we've got small ones. We're like the poorer nations now of it. Because Man City now have got double the size. Have you seen the size of it? It's just amazing. It's just not amazing. It's just advertising now, isn't it? It's just...
It's all about keeping up with the Joneses. It's the continuation of this thing that's plagued society for many years, but enough of the sociology for one point. I do have to point out that Liverpool did employ a throw-in coach because they had to get rid of their throw-in coach when Bruce Grobbelaar left. But enough about that. Let's talk... The reason I wanted to talk about substitutions, Stu, was because of our lack of them.
Yeah,
and at Newport on Tuesday night, we actually had a full bench. But we didn't use any of them. Well, we used one of them.
No, and it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, this thing about substitutes, Dwayne Jackson wasn't using loads of substitutes through the season. I said to you before, we sit very low down on the table in terms of subs used throughout the season, averaged out. You know, I think we sit in the bottom six on that. So it's not as if he was using them before. I don't like the idea that we can't fill a bench. I get it if you're away from home, because you could get illnesses. If you travelled overnight, you could get illnesses. That means you can't fill up your bench. But home games, you shouldn't ever be in that situation. And it frustrated me a little bit, his comment about Newport had the luxury of making five substitutions. Didn't get that. You know, we had the luxury of making five substitutions, but we didn't. Could they have changed the game as much as Newport did? I don't think so. I think Newport, no disrespect to Newport, they had more depth than we did on our bench. But to say they could use five and we couldn't, you know, we used one, and that was a light for light swap with Pearce and Janna, and then Will Nightingale come on for the shortest ever appearance. I think he done well to hit 15 seconds. I felt sorry for him because the whistle went. I was looking to see, would he shake any hands? Would he shake hands with anybody or just go and shake hands with the subs who didn't come on?
Yeah.
Poor bloke, do you know what I mean? Like, he literally probably just got the centre half and then the referee blew the whistle.
I'll do well to get 15 seconds is my Tinder profile, by the way. The point of this is... the point of the Will Nightingale substitution is it's a bit of a worry for Saturday, because you assume if someone's not fit enough to even just stand the pitch for 15 seconds, then they're probably in a little bit of bother for your next fixture. So we'll see if we hear anything or if we're told anything about Alex Pearson, his likelihood to feature. But injuries, again, causing us many problems. Again, these two games this week, the Doncaster, again, both games where we've taken the lead and we've not gone on to win the game. So we're now 9 without a win. It's 1 win in 13. It's how many games in a row now? Six
started at Hartlepool. Started at Hartlepool.
Hartlepool, Gillingham, Stevenage, Mansfield. Yeah, they're all coming back to me. Doncaster and then Newport. Yeah, so same old problems. But injuries not helping, because again we're changing formations. We start with a back three against Doncaster. We go the wing backs. George Marsh comes into play. Then we go back to a back four on Tuesday night, and again Aaron Pierre comes in as a two with Alex Pearce alongside him. Jack Curry comes back in, and Chris Gunter then drops back out. It's all very confusing. It can't be helpful to get any sort of formal momentum building at the best of times if you're in a position where you are in the top half, maybe pushing forward, let alone when you're in the middle of a... Well, 2023 has been pretty dire so far.
Yeah, it can't help, because you're not getting any time on the training pitch. So, you know, if you're playing midweek, Saturday, Tuesday, you're not getting any training. So you're not even getting any good, coping periods of play or, you know, look at that. It's what I was saying to you about the individual sports. It's quite interesting, because for the Northampton game, Johnny Jackson said that for the first half, we matched up Doncaster. So we matched them up as a 3-5-2, which I found really weird, because I didn't know why we had to match, you know, It was one of those that it didn't work, and he changed it at half time. But it's, you know, changing your formation as well is. I think sometimes, you know, you look for signs where things aren't working. I think Joey Jackson at the moment is doing that typical thing of just trying to think, will something work? You know, it's like the old thing, throw enough mud and hope it sticks.
Yeah,
I'm not saying we're in a desperate situation, but we're in a situation where it's trying to work out why, you know, how have we gone? We've had six games where we've led. We scored the opening goal, and we haven't hung on to it. Bearing in mind that before that run, we got our 13th clean sheet of the season. You know, it's really, you know, and some of those clean sheets have been like Northampton, Stockport, you know, teams that are good teams, Bradford. Yeah. So how's a team gone from 13 clean sheets, and that's a defence, it's not just an exanib, to literally looking vulnerable all the time? So it could be a case that we've too many different... I think if you look at the centre-half pairings, we've probably changed that every game, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, of course, that doesn't help. But, yeah, it's just... You know, I know people that are putting bets on us as soon as we score the opening goal to lose a game, because it's just great odds. And I think the bookies are smartened up with that and giving us shorter odds all the time.
Surely it will have to break at some point. What interests me is these runs of poor form seem to be kick-started by conceding injury time equalisers in 2-2 draws, or at least surrendering leads to get 2-2 draw. I'm thinking back to when we drew at Wickham last season, when we scored to go 2-1 up in injury time, and then we conceded a daft penalty, and it ended up 2-2. And ever since then, just seems like we know. And then we thought we were getting ourselves all right with the Doncaster game last season, threw away a 2-0 lead. Doncaster at home this season, threw away a 2-0 lead. And then, of course, Hartlepool is the game I'm referencing, the latest one, to concede that equaliser. And since then, it just seems like mentality is just completely gone. Completely. And that was the start of the problems we had with these centre-back pairings. It was Alex Pearce that got injured against Hartlepool, and we conceded the goals after that. Ever since then, it's been mix and match and try this, try that, injury this, injury here, injury there. And we're in a bit of a rut.
Well, yeah, we're playing George Marsh as a right back, right
Jones, wing
back.
And I thought, Jesus Christ, that's got bad.
You know, we're playing him in. You know, he played right wing back, and people were talking like, you know, he wasn't effective there. Well, yeah, because his strength isn't going forward.
Nah.
And that right wing back, you know, Jack Curry, he suits a left wing back. Actually flourished in the left wing back position because I don't think he's as good defensively as he is going forward, and that's a lot with modern day fullbacks. But I just don't know if the midfield. I think, you know, Alex Woodyard's going through a patch where he's struggling with form. I think that's obvious. I think you can all see that. And Amani Little at the moment is struggling a little bit. You know, he's come in, hit the ground running. We all saw a really good player. And, you know, when a team's not doing so well, your own form can drop a little bit. But the midfield, I just feel the midfield, we're just getting broken through. I don't think we're defending as well from the forward positions to stop the ball coming in. Mm. And it's one of those, like, sometimes when you keep conceding goals, what we can see now, what, 13-6, is it? I can't remember what it is now, but... So we've conceded quite a lot of goals. In a way, what you sometimes go is, right, do you know what? We need a clean sheet. Need a clean sheet. We just do a 5-4-1. We just bore the hell out of everyone. Get your clean sheet, get your confidence back. But we just haven't been able to do that. And you now go into a game, you know, you're 9 games without a win. You don't do that for Crawley because Crawley will give you chances. But ultimately, you need a clean sheet because sometimes you have to go back to basics. And we desperately need to do that. However, Johnny Jackson's caught in a thing where he doesn't want to go 10 games unbeaten. And he certainly doesn't want to lose against Crawley because that would be...
He does want to go 10 games unbeaten.
Sorry, 10 games without a win, sorry. But, you know, if the worst comes, we lose against Crawley, we've lost 5 of the last 6.
Yeah.
So it's a real dilemma. I think Saturday's game, I know we're going to discuss it later, it's a real banana skin. It really is.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just processing that potential of losing to Crawley. But I feel like I shouldn't be a hypocrite here because I said to you, Stu, a good, what, month, 6 weeks ago, we were drawing 0-0 every week. And I said, look, we're safe. Can we at least try and play a bit more football, try and be a bit more entertaining? So I don't think I can sit here now and say, personally, I can't sort of say, right, now, what we should be doing is exactly as you said. We should be going 9 at the back and just get that clean sheet on. It's a real difficult one. And as you say, a really difficult one for Johnny Jackson to try and figure out because, as you say, Crawley, they're going to give us chances. And really, despite the fact they won their last game, it's a game we should be winning. We really, really should be. So it's really difficult. The other thing that he's got to consider is Josh Davison, who was rested on Tuesday night with an injury.
Yeah.
And that does that affect things as well? Like in terms of, you said they're about defending from the front, and obviously we've gone with a front two against Doncaster that we seem to go with. We had to go one up top at Newport. There was some speculation that we started at Doncaster with Ali Alhamadi wide right, and I just could not fathom this whatsoever. It looked to me like a 3-5-2 with him up top alongside Josh. And if we change that second half, then fair enough. But for me, it seemed if he appeared to play him right wing is because he was doing the old Lyle Taylor trick of drifting wide at every opportunity.
He did seem to drift wide quite a lot. That was the thing with it. And yeah, there was a few comments on social media. I think they're 3-5-2. Sometimes you've just got to drop back in and sometimes give protection to your wing back and stuff like that. I think that might have been more what it was. But yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because we have gone with two up. But then have we been more going to... Remember I was saying ages ago when we played I think it was a Hartlepool game or the game we were supposed to, I can't think now. But anyway, one of the games was like, this could be a real test because actually we're going to have to attack. Yeah. And we have done that. So we've got an extra body up front. We've got a more of an attacking person in midfield than Marley Little. We've lost Harry Pell, who for all his, you know, let's be fair, for all Harry Pell's bad things, he does do good things where he breaks things up by falling on his backside, doesn't he? We don't, you know, we've lost a bit of experience in that and also lost a bit of height with Harry Pell as well. So there's a lot of things with that. But, you know, the difficult thing with Al Hamadi is he's, you know, six goals now, which is great. But, of course, he's got the attachment of his national team, so he now plays a game.
Yeah.
He potentially misses Barrow unless we can find any other country that would take one of our players as an international fixture so we can call off the Barrow game.
Yeah.
But then who wants that to be Barrow midweek if that gets rearranged? So you sort of sit with the club and you probably think, actually, the club would go, we'd rather play on a Saturday.
Just play it and get it done,
Because that journey midweek, the journey on a Saturday is bad enough, but midweek, we did that, didn't we? Remember, we played him in the FA Cup on a Thursday night.
Yeah, thankfully crowds weren't allowed at the time.
And George Jones went, and I told him not to go. He didn't have to go, but he wanted to go, the loser.
Of course.
Look, we've got, but and Al Hamadi form's great, but it also, you know, if it weren't for him, we wouldn't have scored many.
We just scored one, I think. And that was because the goalkeeper decided to let it run through him.
Like, he's our third top goal scorer now.
It's mad.
I think, but below that is Harry Pell on three.
Yeah.
You know, and Josh Davidson got his 10th of the season, but that's his first goal since New Year's Day. And to be fair, the goalkeeper done a Brucey Grobbelaar, didn't he?
The goalkeeper had an absolute mare. I think it's fair to say. Yes, it's one of those goals where when you watch it back on the highlights, you can see on the screen that the ball's gone in, but the cheer from the away end comes about 10 seconds later because they weren't able to decipher what happened from their view.
Yeah, it's... Hey, look, we're going through a patch, aren't we? But creepy Crawley on Saturday, oh my days. It's probably the worst fixture we could probably have at this time.
I think that's probably a fair shout, actually, in terms of, as we've said, expected to take the game to them, but in the middle of a really horrendous run, of which they are as well. We'll come on to it very shortly. Of course, social media, as it always is, life was better before social media, Stu, and questions being asked for the manager, of course, as they always will be. It's just Groundhog Day every single season, it just seems like. I mean, I don't know, Stu, where to begin with this one. I just think, you know, for me, people saying that the manager has to go, is that because of our position in the league? Or is it because of nine games without a win? Is it because people really bought into the expectation that we should be in the playoffs this season? I don't really know. I know that Johnny Jackson is in his infancy as a manager. And I think, you know, Neil Lardley got us promoted, but we knew that, you know, he kept us up in his first season, and then we had a couple of seasons of basically bottom third of the table in League Two. So it's not going to... It's this constant craving for overnight instant gratification, instant success. I'm not saying that Johnny Jackson's perfect, but I'm saying he's a young and experienced manager that's going to make mistakes, but we are not in danger of going down. We have stabilised after a horrendous run. What's the rush to get red?
Expectation. That's your problem.
It is.
So if you look at Neil Ardley, he was at King's Meadow, which, you know, was a non-league ground. Loved King's Meadow. Well, that's how I loved King's Meadow, but it was good for us.
Yeah.
But in terms of expectation, probably what he was doing matched it. And we could probably argue that when we got into the playoffs and got promoted at Wembley, that was overachieving.
Yeah.
However, you've then moved to Plough Lane. So we've got a lovely new stadium. You know, we've doubled our average attendance, I think, if we look at it that way.
Yeah.
So we've got new fans or old fans that didn't come all the time. And they're seeing a lovely new Plough Lane. Shiny, you know, new. And they're seeing on the pitch not reflecting that. So in a way, I've said this so many times, I think Plough Lane plays tricks with you because you look and go, well, this is a lovely stadium. This is probably one of the top five, six stadiums in League Two, probably higher. Yet what's on the pitch isn't justifying that. We also had the expectation from the Don's Trust board that we would be looking for, you know, JJ's objective was to be looking at playoffs and stuff like that. But on the flip side of that, you're dead right. We've got a manager who is cutting his teeth at football. But I think with fans, I think everything is confused with it. And then add to the stuff that football fans think, hey, look, in the Premier League, if you don't win game in five, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, and then add another layer to it, you know, is the thing that people think we waited too long with Robbo in terms of, was it 27 games without a win? So they're now going, well, we can't let it get to 27. We can't let it get to 20. Actually, 10 is probably, you know, your double figure. That is probably your trigger point. So there's so much in it. But you're right, we've got a manager who's, I think it's a panic. What I would say, though, is I do worry that JJ is falling into similar traps with mucking around with selection and stuff like that, and also what he's saying post-match. I think you're seeing signs of, I don't think what he's saying is reflecting what we're seeing. Mm. And yes, he needs to be positive. He needs to, but I don't think, you know, did we dominate at Doncaster? No. Did we have a better chance at Newport? Or did we play better football? Well, they've done well at set pieces and throw-ins, but we were launching it from back to front all game.
Mm.
So it's not match, and that's the problem. That and then flip on it, you know, people, is that affiliation? The Charlton thing is horrible, but I think sometimes he's not as engaging as Robbo and Glynn and Wally, and that's being held against him. You know, that's not his style.
Mm.
But I worry. I do worry. But is it the right thing to do? Unless you're going to go and get a manager who's got, you know, 300, 400 games. You know, like, to be fair, Steve Evans and Nigel Clough have come. I'm not saying he should be manager. I'm saying, if you look at Steve Evans and Nigel Clough, I think they're averaging about 1,100 games managing.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's a great point when you actually look at the teams that are at the top end of League Two and you look at their managers and you go, they are vastly experienced managers up there. Looking at Simpson at Carlisle, for example, as well, you can add into that mix. You're looking at Willens and you're thinking, been around the block, so to speak.
Can we? The argument is, can we afford those people? Will they come? Well, I'm not really funny. We've got a new, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I'm sitting there thinking, well, we've got new fans that are coming to Plough Lane because they love Plough Lane. So is that a draw? But then the difference is, a football manager will go, what's your budget and what's your setup?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, we've just got Craig Copin. Hey, look, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's going to take a little while for his magic. Hopefully his magic to come to fruition. But hey, look, it's just, I hate this part of the season. It's the same every year, isn't it?
It's the same every year. What sort of manager is going to look at a club that's sacked or left, sacked six managers in six seasons and think, well, without the finances there, is this really the job I want to take on?
Yeah, but then you look at different. You look at it a different way. Gareth Ainsworth goes into QPR and he's their third manager of the season.
Mm.
So, you know, if you look at the average tenure of a manager now, I think it's between 12 and 15 months. So I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. You know, I'm thinking we're just a normal league club in that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that? I don't think we're that. I think we look at it and go, after having Neil Ardy for six seasons, we are now looking really rubbish. But actually, that was a freak because at the time, wasn't it, when he was there, it was Arsene. Was it Arsene Wenger, Gareth Ainsworth,
Jim Bentley,
top four? Yeah, yeah. But it was freakish to have a manager that long. Do you know what I mean? But I don't know, football and social media, just makes it all worse, doesn't it? Makes it all worse. Roll on the summer.
We'll go through it all again and we'll all start signing new players and we'll all be like, who? And then we'll all be like, no, he's amazing. And then most people are like, never heard of him. And then, yeah, we'll go through that whole rigmarole again.
Is that all we can attract?
What? Yeah, all that things again. Have we missed out on this person again? We're so amateur. Oh, man. Don't you just love it? Enough to drive you insane. Yeah. Right. I'm not sure how we're doing for time, Stu. Do you want to... Just a very quick... Very quick on that side of it, really, just because to just lighten the mood somewhat, I suppose, and talk nonsense for a moment. There's a Wendy's that's opened in Kingston upon Thames. You know, Wendy.
Right. How's she?
American. I mean, she's great. The American burger restaurant. Many people will be familiar with it from the States. Pretty good. But is it the best burger place in the country or available for now?
I don't know. I mean, I know Wendy's, but I don't know how many went, I don't know how many places she set up in this country.
Not many.
Definitely not in Newport. Poor Newport. Yeah, I don't know. I thought you were going to say for a minute it's going to be a Wendy's at Flower Lane, because I'm hearing it's Quegg's, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a Wendy's. That would be pretty good. But the thing is, with all these shops around, no one's ever going to be able to get into them on match day anyway, so I'm not even going to go anywhere near. I'm not going to be at the ground early enough to try and bother to get a Quegg's or a Starbucks or a Wendy's or whatever.
But no, so you've visited this place then, the Wendy's, because you've got the Wendy's and you've got the Wimpy's, haven't you?
I was thinking, I think there are still some Wimpy's about, Stu. I was thinking, like, where would you put, if you're not familiar with Wendy's, where would you put sort of McDonald's, Burger King, Five Guys in a sort of order?
Yeah, I've not really had Five Guys, I'll be truthful. I've not had Five Guys.
Amazing. We're clipping that part.
Amazing. Wendy's at five. Anyway, let's go. For burger wise, Burger King's my favourite.
Okay.
But McDonald's is just easier and there's more of them. I think that's the thing. I think Burger King is not one in where I'm in Epsom, but it's a McDonald's. So I probably would say McDonald's would be, but yeah, I don't know. What I was going to say, if you think about other things, my wife loves Little Chefs. Not so little, but they just...
I really wish I was more familiar with my TV chef at this point. What's his name? Anthony Ward Thompson? Was he a little chef?
Yeah. But you know what's funny, right? With the little chefs, it's like the thing is, it's like going back in time. You know them sofas? I swear we've got them sofas from somewhere that have like lived, I don't know, in the 80s. When you go into a little chef, it's like the place that time's forgot.
Yeah.
It's still got... But you find them, when we went down... Where did we go? We went down to... Might have been Plymouth or somewhere. We found some little chefs and we deliberately stayed in little. We deliberately got into little chefs because it was just nostalgia.
I love a little chef.
Yeah. So we've got Five Guys, Wendy's, and all other burger joints are available.
Yeah, some good ones and some rubbish ones as well. Right, running out of time. So, Crawley Town on Saturday. Before we get to previewing the fixture, a Jackson 5 this week. Since 2002, fixtures between ourselves and Crawley have featured 5 red cards for players, because obviously Steve Evans was sent off in 2011 at King's Meadow. Best guess, Stu, at the 5 players that have been sent off in fixtures between us and Crawley in that time since 2002. I will give you a clue. Two of them played for us and 3 of them played for Crawley.
I'm thinking the player that done the foul on, well, not the foul, the ref will tackle on
Jason Pryor. Yeah.
I can't think of his name now. That's going to bug the hell out of me. 2 for us. Did we get a Brett Johnson?
No, I think he scored at Broadfield once, but no, he didn't get sent off. I'll give you...
Sammy Moore?
He scored in the league there, but not sent off.
This is a difficult one, isn't it? I knew it was obviously going to be a Crawley question. I didn't think of sending off. That's dumb me.
It's hard, isn't it? But do you want some clues? Do you want a clue for one of them? One of them got sent off whilst playing for Crawley, but he has played for both clubs.
Matt Tubbs?
Not Matt Tubbs.
Wrong.
Yeah. Scored against us.
Who paid for us and Crawley? Creepy Crawley. Oh, crikey. Do we ever get...
You will get there.
Mate. Ben Judge went way early from that. I don't know. You've done me on this one.
Do you want me to tell you? You're going to kick yourself.
Yeah, go on.
I'll leave that one till last because you're going to kick yourself. Right, so Hope Akpan was the player that fouled Jason Pryor horrendously and was sent off for that in a 1-1 draw in April 2012. The most recent was Tony Craig in August when we won 2-0 in the league.
Oh, what a plum.
So that was a few months ago. Derek Duncan was sent off in the FA Cup replay with us in October 2009, which we went on to win 3-1.
Yeah.
And the other two came in the same game, one for each side. This was in March 2011 when we lost 3-1. The game, I think, as I just said, Brett Johnson scored in. James Mulley was sent off for us in the last minute. Sent off for Crawley that evening with a player that would go on to win promotion with AFC Wimbledon in 2016. You're so going to kick yourself. There's going to be people screaming.
I was so getting old, my memory. Promotion. No, if it's about misery, I'm going to scream at this one, probably.
Danny Ballman.
Yeah, but he's so old. I forgot he played for Crawley. Like, he's played for like 1,000 clubs or something, isn't it? Oh, my days.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so, not surprised he got sent off, to be fair, is it? But, no, not yeah.
Really. Yeah. And there you go. Jackson 5 this week. We are really running out of time now. So just to run through the visit of Crawley then on Saturday, we've spoken a little bit about it. They're currently second from bottom in League 2 because they are shit. They have played 11 games in 2023 and they've won two of them and have drawn one and have lost 18. But they did beat Harrogate Town at home last week. They won 3-1, somewhat surprisingly. They have failed to win in League 2 all season away from home and have not scored in their last four away league games. Their manager, Scott Lindsay, has not going to talk about the gender-neutral specifics of his name there. Since the 11th of January, in charge, doing a fine job, isn't he? Fantastic. I don't like Crawley, have you guessed? Dom Telford is their top scorer this season, I think 10 goals in all competitions, but some of those might have been in the Football League Trophy, which doesn't really count. Your prediction?
let's go. I reckon we're going to all of a sudden hit form and 3-1 win.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'll go for that as well. Do you know what? I'll agree with you there. Yeah. The chances, I think, I mean, the likely...
Of a deal.
No, well, do you know what? The thing is, you've got a team in bad form against a team in terrible form, but they have just won a game. So looking at respective records, you would think that it will be a draw, but to go 10 without a win would be awful. So let's go for a nervy 3-2 win where we're sort of hanging on right at the end.
I bet it'll be an own goal. That's what I go for. I bet it's going to be an own goal. I don't know who's going to score it, but it's going to be an own goal because defensively, both of us are not great.
Yeah, good shout that. So there we go. Updates will be on Twitter at 9YRS Podcast, of course. And it's a special day as well on Saturday, celebrating all the women and girls of AFC Wimbledon, sort of the equivalent of Ladies' Day, I suppose, at Cheltenham, I suppose. So make sure to wear your best suits and ridiculous hats for the occasion. Women's team, of course, went top of their league last week with a win at Cambridge United. So very well done to the AFC Wimbledon women's team. 9 years TV before and after the game, of course. That's why I was going down that link, because, you know, we might be discussing that. You can join us on YouTube if you're not at the game on Saturday. And it'll be interesting to see how many fans Crawley bring and what the attendance is like. Crawley have very, very few fans because they're not really a proper club. Anyway, right. Anything else, Stu? Anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, I'm just hoping we've made sure they can pay in crypto for the game on Saturday, just in case they've still got some money left. Anyway, stop it.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, happy Stone Cold Steve Austin Day.
Thank you.
Episode 316 on the podcast. Very much enjoyed it. And that's it. So, thanks, Stu, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Alexa Bliss, not Stone Cold Steve Austin. What do I say? Bag, first milk, last, 2 plus 2 equals 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.